you would open your Bibles up to Psalms 18. Psalms 18. I want to look at just two verses. Look at man on both sides of it. Psalm 18, here we go. I want to look at verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Let us pray. Father, thank you so very much for those who are able to attend this afternoon. And I ask, Father, that you give me liberty to speak that which you want spoken, Father, and that you'd seal my lips against anything that would displease thee. And Father, I ask that you use me to help these people, to uplift them, encourage them, Father, maybe educate them, to do a good work by them, Father. Father, once again, we pray for those on our prayer list, the sick and the needy, Father. We ask that you be with them and attend to each and every need. We pray for our pastor also, Father, that you bring him back and his family safe and sound to us, Father, and that you give him a good time of rest and relaxation. And Father, we thank you for all these things you provided us, and thank you for the fellowship we've had today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, this morning we talked about coming to God. This afternoon we're going to talk about relying on God. And the saved realize something that the unsaved don't. And that is that we have to rely on God for everything. There's no getting it yourself. We have to rely on God for everything. The saved and the unsaved alike would not exist before the will of God. You know, in the beginning, God spoke, and this is something that's very important. God spoke into creation, into existence, all of creation. He didn't have to mold it and make it. The only thing that talks about God making with his hands, it says he made man out of the dust of the earth and he made him in his image. God spoke. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The food we eat, the things we consume, the water we drink, the air we breathe, all this stuff has to come from somewhere, doesn't it? I mean, it doesn't just show up, you know. I sometimes say I'd like to have the life that my cat does, because she meows and food just magically appears in the bowl. You know, there's always a warm spot or a cool spot to lay down in. Basically, my cat is worthless. But that aside, from her perspective, she just meows whenever she wants something, she gets it, right? We know the unsaved take this for granted. They assume that the food they eat, they like to assume that they got it by their hand. But had God not empowered them, had God not given them the job that they have or don't have, If God had not given them the means whereby to get the bread that they eat, they wouldn't have the bread that they have. If God hadn't empowered us, you know, yourself, we take it for granted. We say, well, you know, I got a job. Well, who gave you the job? The Lord did. Who got you out of bed this morning? Now, really, if you think about it, the Lord did. He didn't have to wake you up overnight, did he? Or have to wake you up this morning. He could have taken you home during the night. It's another day. It's another day that you've been given on this side of eternity to do the Lord's work, to do the Lord's will. The unsaved take these things for granted. I've heard people say, well, I'm grateful every day of my life. And they're grateful. They may be grateful for the stuff, but they're not grateful to the giver. They don't appreciate where their job came from. They don't appreciate where their home came from. They may have a nice house, but they don't appreciate where their home came from. They don't appreciate where the food came from that they eat. They, well, I'll just be blunt, like a gluttonous hog. You put something down in front of a hog and he just swallows it up and he doesn't bother to think about where it come from, does he? And that's what a lot of people are like. That's what the unsaved are like. They say they don't take it for granted, but they do. They don't give thanks to the giver. And I have to say, but a lot of saved people do as well. You know, I'd love to think that every saved person lived a life of gratitude, but let's face it, we don't. We tend to take things for granted. We take for granted that the Lord is going to wake us up in the morning. We go to bed with the expectation of going to work in the morning of the next day, or we go to bed in anticipation of going to the Lord's house the next morning. Or we go to bed in anticipation of vacation or whatever it is. When, let me just ask you a question. Where is it required for the Lord to wake you up for you to go do anything? Where is the Lord required to? And yet, we take that for granted. I have a family member. Bless his heart. He said, I can schedule a vacation 5 years in advance with my job. He said, if I know that I want a date 4 or 5 years in advance off, he said, I can schedule it. Dude, you don't know if you're going to be here in 5 years. What's the Lord say about the matter? We plan our lives like we're in control, and frankly, we're not. Control is an illusion. The one that's in control is God. We make plans. This is not biblical. This isn't a scriptural passage. Or a passage of scripture, but I think it's biblical. This is a man saying, I've heard that man makes plans and God laughs. If your plans aren't God's plans, whose plans come out on top? Who wins? The Lord. We have to rely on the Lord for the air we breathe, the fact that our heart beats, for the fact that we exist at all. And we take that stuff for granted. It's not taught very often. It's not talked about very often, is it? How much we're in debt to the Lord. We owe the Lord. If you're saved, you owe the Lord for more than your salvation. And what I have here, the fact is we should not just be grateful at mealtime. Now, I love the people, and people, they'll ask a blessing over a meal. You know, we do here at noon. We ask a blessing over a meal. We go to fellowship and have a good time. But what about all the other things that we've been given? You know, I don't make any bones about it. I live in a house I was given, on a farm I was given, and a job I was given. I run equipment that I was given. I didn't have it in me. The Lord took mercy on me. How is the Lord taking mercy on you in your life? What's He giving you? Have you been mindful of all the things that He's given you? Have you been thoughtful of all the things that He's given you? Have you said thank you for all the things that He's given you? Has it really crossed your mind from day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute? Has it ever crossed your mind just exactly how much you've been given? Got money in the bank? Guess who gave you the ability to get it? Don't have money in the bank? Guess who supplied your last meal? Guess who's going to supply your next meal? Let me just go with this. What I have here in my notes. I've read, and I did read this, that to murmur against the weather is to murmur against God. Now, while too much or too little of anything can be exasperating, that statement certainly provokes some thought, doesn't it? How many times do we growl about it being too hot or too cold or too wet or too dry? Well, who sent it? And He has a reason for it. You know, the Bible says, one, it rains on the just and the unjust alike. But it also says that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, those called according to His purpose, doesn't it? So, even whenever we're growling about it being too hot or too cold, it's actually for our good. Don't know what the ultimate plan is. Don't know what the ultimate realization is. But, beloved, He's doing it for our best interest. As our rock and our fortress, we can fly to Him in times of trial. Our rock and our fortress. I don't know how many of you, when I was little, our place has some house-sized boulders on it. They're just big, flat rocks, and you can climb up on them. When I was little, they were everything. They were spaceships, and they were forts, and they were castles, and whatever else. And what made it fun was, especially whenever you were at the right age where the younger cousins couldn't climb up the rock, but you were big enough that you could. Or there was only one way up, and it was your castle. So you had, you know, you had... And that's the picture that we need to have of the Lord. Whenever we have trials or tribulations, a fortress. We don't grasp the idea of a fortress today because we live in a world where a fort, excuse me, wouldn't necessarily do any good. You drop a bomb, you shoot a missile at it, you do whatever, and you can destroy the castle, right? But beloved, whenever these books were written, whenever these songs were written, the only way that you got into a fenced city was starve them out. You couldn't assail it, you couldn't assault it, you couldn't do anything about it. You couldn't climb the wall, they'd just push a ladder back off of it, or they'd shoot you from up top of the wall. You couldn't dig underneath of it. They'd shoot you as you were trying to dig underneath of it. There was no way in to a fortress. You had to literally sit outside the fortress and wait for them to decide to come out. Well, as our rock and our fortress, we can fly to God in times of trial. And I want to tell you this, that does not mean that God will lift you out of tribulation. And I want to reemphasize this. I want this to be grilled into your mind. I want you to know this without a shadow of a doubt. Just because you call out to God in tribulation does not mean He will lift you out of the tribulation. You're there for a reason. Say, Mike, I don't know what the reason is. Well, I don't know in your case either. Okay? Maybe you're being tested. Maybe you're being chastised. Maybe it's to bring out an ultimate good. But whatever it is, you have to go right back to what Romans 8 said, don't you? All things work together for the good of them. You get the idea. And if you are truly a child of God, what is one thing that tribulation does that prosperity does not? When do you cry out to God the strongest, the hardest? When you're in trouble. I wish it wasn't so. I wish that whenever we called out to God that we were just as fervent calling out to Him in prosperity as we were in tribulation. But the fact is we aren't. What happens whenever we get plenty? We forget God, don't we? No, I don't forget God. I told Him thank you. Well, we forget God. We don't pray to Him like we should. We'll tell Him thank you, but we don't get as close to God whenever we're in the midst of prosperity as we do to get close to God whenever we're in the midst of trials and tribulations. When we're in the midst of trial, we call out to God. Whenever we're in trouble, we call out to God. And it's not just up here, it's down here. It's in the heart, it's in the soul that we call out to Him. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. People ask a blessing over a meal. Sometimes I'd rather they didn't than they just did lip service. You know, it's really easy to say, thank you, Lord, for this food, but are you really thankful? You know, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to mean it. God will go through you. God will go with you through tribulation. He'll be beside you. He'll carry you. He'll sustain you. He'll teach you to rely on Him, which is the title I have, Relying on God. Have you ever been to a point in your life where all you could do was rely on God? Have you ever been put in a position where you could not humanly, no one humanly could do anything about the situation that you had to rely on God? Excuse me. I know some of you have. I know walking miracles because of the power of God. People that are alive today that shouldn't be because of the power of God. You know, you think of that fiery furnace when the men were in it, and who was in there with them? You know, it's well said that He's our strength. And it's also well said that the arm of flesh will fail you. It never ceases to amaze me whenever we look at Revelation that the devil thinks that he can defy or defeat God and raise an army. That never ceases to amaze me. That doesn't, I mean, the Bible says what the Bible says. You know, man can will to do something, but if God wills otherwise, those plans are going to perish, aren't they? To rely on God, we have to seek God's will. Say, Mike, I don't know what His will is. Sometimes I don't know what His will is. A lot of times I don't know what His will is. But I know one thing I can do. If I don't know anything else, I can say, Lord, would You have Your will done? Would You show Your will to me? You know, I prayed for things that didn't come to pass. I prayed a lot of times for things that didn't come to pass. Or prayed that something would not happen that did. Many, many, many times I have. And I've got to say that whenever God said no, He was preparing me for a blessing. Not a curse, but a blessing. We have to seek God's will if we're going to rely on God. We have to be willing to put aside our plans. We have to be willing to put aside our desires. We have to be willing to put aside what we want to do. We have to be willing to admit that our plan is not perfect and that God's plan is. We have to be willing to understand that His will is always going to come about no matter what we want. And further, we must undertake to follow His will. Now, I'm not going to touch on Brother Don's sermons, that's his, but we've been studying Jonah. And Jonah was determined to do anything but God's will, wasn't he? Furthermore, even whenever he did God's will, whenever he gave in, if I could be so bold as to say that he gave in, whenever he was chastised, he turned about and he set about to do God's will, but he did it grudgingly, didn't he? Did he get a blessing from it? No. You know, he could have rejoiced whenever the Ninevites put themselves in ashes and sackcloth. See the mercy of God at hand, but he didn't, did he? And that brings me to my next point. We must realize sometimes that God's will is not our will. You know, Jonah, again, and I'm not trying to stomp all over Brother Don's notes. I don't know what his next message will be, but we've already listened to that part, so I don't feel like I'm stealing any of his thunder. You know, Jonah's will was for Nineveh to be turned into a Walmart parking lot, wasn't it? To smash flat, and that would be the end of it, would have made Jonah happy. I have to admit, whenever it comes to some religions, I wouldn't mind to see them smashed flat and turned into a parking lot. But at the same time, it's not God's will, is it? At least not yet. We have to realize in our lives that God's will may not be our will, and we have to bend our will to His. I said this morning, and I'll stand by it, the ideal for a Christian is for his will or her will to be identical to God's will, to where there not be any difference between the two of them. That's one of the nice things that will happen whenever we finally are with our Lord and Savior, is our will be exactly what His will is. If it's His will to teach, it'll be our will to learn. If it's His will to send us to do something, it'll be our will to go and do it. If it's His will to be praised and worshipped, it'll be our will to praise and worship Him. Our will and His will wrapped up together as one. And it shouldn't be that, shouldn't it be that way? Shouldn't it be our desire to have our will and His will be one and the same? And think about it. Would it not be nice to be free of sin? Would it not be the words are hard. Would it not be nice to be free of sin and temptation? To not have to worry about it anymore, to not even desire to do it anymore, to just be shut of it, period. No problems, nothing. That's what we look forward to. That's what we wait on. That's what we're going to. I'm going to sum it up. Relying on God is more than just praying to Him from time to time. It's a way of life. Okay, if you only think about God at dinner time, breakfast, dinner, and supper, and maybe when you wake up and go to bed, if you pray to God three meals a day and when you wake up and go to bed, that's five times a day. If you pray to the Lord five times a day and you forget completely about Him the rest of the time, what are you wasting your time for? The Bible says to pray without ceasing, am I correct? Well, if you're going to pray without ceasing, doesn't that mean as you go through the course of the day that one would think about God, one would pray to God, one would ask the Lord what he wanted, ask the Lord for His will to be done. Not just at three meals when you wake up and go to bed, but any time during the day that you need direction. It's a way of life that encompasses prayer to God, not just from time to time, but prayer to God as often as it can cross our mind to pray to God. Sometimes the only thing that I do is ask the Lord to forgive me because I've got a lot that I need forgiven for. It encompasses thoughtfulness about God. In other words, well, have you ever sat and contemplated some of the names that you can come up with for God? The Almighty, Holiest, Beautiful. I could go on and on and on. Have you ever thought about all the good? Have you ever spent time just dwelling on the attributes of God? It's well worth it. Very well worth it. It's gratitude towards God, and that's part of what it comes to rely on God. Not just relying on Him, but being grateful. Do you tell the Lord thank you? No, and not just thank you for breakfast, dinner, and supper, but do you tell Him from day to day, from time to time, thank you? Just thank you, period. Thank you for the good day at work. Thank you for the good work. Thank you for my job. Thank you for rescuing me. I could go on and on. Beloved, do you fully rely on God? Does what you think, does the way you live, do you acknowledge your neediness from day to day, from moment to moment? Do you acknowledge the fact that you must rely on God? Do you lean on Him fully and not to your own understanding? Do you lean on Him fully and not to your will? Do you lean on Him fully and understand that He did not give you the ability to get that you wouldn't have? Do you rely on Him fully? I want to encourage you as I close out with this. I want to encourage you to be, we've got the conference coming up at the Talking. You know, they say be in prayer about the conference. I want to say be prayerful about the conference. They say pray for your pastor. Be prayerful about your pastor. They say be in prayer about our next meeting. Be prayerful. Don't just let it cross your mind once in a while. Don't just let it come to you or drift through and then go on its way. Talk to the Lord about it. Tell Him what you'd like to see. Tell Him what you hope. Tell Him thank you. Thank Him for His blessings. I want to challenge you to pray to the Lord, as the Bible says, without ceasing. I want to encourage you to talk to God. And not just once in a while, not just at mealtime. I want to encourage you throughout the course of the day to talk to God. You don't have to stand there and talk to yourself like I'm speaking now. It says, the Bible says He knows the very thoughts of our mind, doesn't it? And a lot of times when I pray, I don't even speak out loud. You know, you look kind of nuts if you're walking around in the middle of Walmart saying that. You know, people look at you funny whenever you're standing there praying or you're walking around talking to yourself. But you know what I mean. You can pray to the Lord anytime, anywhere, and for any reason. And I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to pray to the Lord without ceasing. I want you to rely on the Lord for everything. I want you to acknowledge that it is God that gives you everything. And with that, I want to close. Brother Dale.